sowing and reaping. There's such a long gap often between those two. Have you noticed how long it takes to reap that harvest? And sometimes, frankly, we get sick of the wait. It's a bit like a farmer becoming impatient and walking off the land the week before his crop springs out of the ground. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're heading into the final message in this series called Reaping God's Harvest in My Life. And I'm praying that through it, God will speak a powerful resolve into your heart to wait for the harvest. Over the last few weeks on Christianity Works, we've been looking at reaping God's harvest in my life and in your life. How, when, why should we sow seeds? How do we get God's harvest? What does God's harvest look like anyway? God's harvest is awesome. God's harvest is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul writes in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. He says, look, it's not about food or drink. It's not about all the physical things. And sure, God is in our physical needs. God wants to supply and provide, and he does do that. But at the end of the day, the kingdom of God isn't about food or drink, but it's about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I don't know a single person on this planet who doesn't want that sort of a harvest of goodness and peace and joy in their lives. And sometimes we go through life and it's a big drought. We feel dry. We feel like we're in a wilderness. We don't know what's going on. And more often than not always, but more often than not, it's because in some area of our lives, we've rebelled against God. And God's a good dad. It's like being a parent to a teenager. You know, when you're bringing up kids and you want to see them grow up and have a wonderful life. But when they rebel, sometimes you have to withdraw some of the blessings, some of the privileges from their lives to bring them to a point where they learn. And God's like that too. God loves to rain his blessing down in our lives. But when we rebel, when we turn against him, when we turn our back on him, maybe not in our whole life, maybe just in one little bit of our lives, God says, well, you know, it's time for some pruning. It's time for some teaching. And so sometimes when we're going through a drought in our lives, when it's all dry and that blessing isn't flowing the way it should be, we need to ask ourselves, what's this drought about? Maybe I have a problem in a relationship. Maybe I'm not giving God my top priorities. Maybe there's some area of my life. And when we figure that out, we say, God is speaking to me in this drought. That's the first step. That's admitting that we have a need. And then the Holy Spirit ends up calling us to plant a seed somewhere. You know, when we have a need, when we're struggling with something, we want to feed that need. We want to say, okay, God, if you want me to plant some seed somewhere, if I have financial problems, maybe I have to hoard all my money to deal with my financial problems. And God says, no, I actually don't want you to feed your need right now. I want you to sow some seed in another field. And it's a really weird thing, because often you say to God, hang on a minute, God, my problem's over here, yet you want me to sow a seed in the ground over there? What are you doing? What's going on? It doesn't make sense. The two don't even add up. And so that's what we've been looking at over the last few weeks. And if you haven't been with us the whole time, I really would encourage you. This is one of those teaching series that will just make a huge difference to your life as we learn what it's about to sow and to reap, because it's a spiritual principle that occurs right through the scriptures from the Old Testament to the New Testament, sowing and reaping. And why God sometimes calls us to sow in a different field, because it's counterintuitive. It's a step of faith. I remember when I first met my wife, Jackie. Gee, it's 12 years ago now. And she just came to our church one Sunday morning, and I was preaching. I wasn't feeling very well, and I was only going to be preaching that morning, and she was only going to be in church that morning because she was visiting from a different city. And she had really wanted to go down to some markets that were near the church. And she had a few hundred dollars in her pocket, and she really wanted to go and spend this money down at the markets. But somehow her mum dragged her kicking and screaming to church that morning. And I was in the middle of preaching a message, and I looked out, and I didn't know who this woman was. And I just felt God saying to me, that woman is going to be your wife. And it turns out God was saying that to her about me while she was sitting there. But in the middle of the service, when the offering came around, she felt God calling her to take all the money that she had in her pocket, a few hundred dollars, which is a lot of money to her, and put it into the offering. God was calling her to sow a seed, and she obeyed him. And I believe that if she hadn't done that, if she hadn't honored God's call just to do that, to be obedient to him, I just don't believe that she and I would be husband and wife and we would have the wonderful marriage that we do. Sometimes God calls us to do things that are counterintuitive, that don't make sense. And so we decide against our better judgment sometimes to plant that seed, and we put the seed in the ground, and we wait and we wait and we wait and we wait. And in this McWorld where we live in with the hamburgers and the instant access via mobile phones and the internet, we expect everything instantly. We think, okay, God, I've planted the seed. I want that now. Okay, I'll wait another 5 minutes. Tick, 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 tick. Okay, 10 minutes. Tick, tick, tick. That's it. I've had enough. I'm out of here. It's taking too long. We're like that, aren't we? We are pretty impatient. You know, the seed that Jackie sowed that day that we met, it took months before we became a couple and ultimately got married. I mean, it didn't happen instantly. When you think about it, you plant a seed into the ground, and that seed doesn't instantly sprout and give a harvest that same day. It takes time. Yet we do that and we say, it's too long. I'm out of here. I knew this stupid idea of planting seeds in different fields was never going to work. Gah! And we storm off. But hidden away under the ground, that seed is doing something amazing. It's germinating. Life is sprouting out of it. The Bible talks about seed time and harvest. And yet we miss the time bit. You know, you plant a seed and there's time before the harvest. We get impatient and we get bored and we walk off in disgust and we leave the land just as the little green shoot is about to break through the soil. I remember the first time I went to Disneyland in Orange County in Los Angeles. The Americans do queues much better than we Australians because there are more of them and they're used to standing in queues longer than we are. We Australians get quite impatient with queues. And what I noticed, some of the best rides at Disneyland at the time, Star Wars ride was there, it was like an hour or hour and a half wait. And they were really clever with the queues. Firstly, they went around bends and corners so you couldn't see how many people were in the queue or how long you had to wait. But the second thing they did was they put entertainment along the queue. So you were entertained the whole time. So you didn't really realize that you were waiting quite as long as you were waiting. Well, God is like that too. You know, God has got a sense of humor, and God knows that we get impatient, and God knows that when we plant a seed and nothing happens for a while and we're waiting for the harvest, he doesn't want us to get bored, and he has some things for us to do. What are they? We'll have a look at that when we come back after this short break. I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory. That's why I'd love to send you a short text message of encouragement straight to your phone, just as the Spirit leads, perhaps even when you least expect it. That's what Victory SMS is all about. Roughly every other week, I ask the Lord, what word of encouragement could I give to you today? So if you'd like the occasional bit of encouragement to help you live your life in victory, then head across to victorysms.org. And when you do subscribe, you'll immediately receive a free copy of my ebook, Power Unlimited. Thousands of people already have. And the most common response? Oh, that's exactly what I needed to hear today. How did you know that? Thank you so much. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through just a short text message. And I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, that web address is victorysms.org. Okay, let's head straight back into the Word of God. Well, sowing and reaping is one of the spiritual principles that God has throughout his word, right from beginning to end. When you think about it, when a farmer sows the seed into the ground, the farmer just doesn't sit there for the next few months and do nothing. There's a bit of work that has to go on. A bit like a garden. Gardening is nothing like a beautiful garden, but it's hard work too. It just doesn't happen. Planting, in a sense, is the easy bit, but we need to feed and weed and water sometimes. It's amazing how weeds grow about five times faster than any of the plants that we paid a fortune for. You know, the thistles and the rubbish in a garden, they can take over the garden just in a few weeks. I remember Mum and Dad, when I was a kid, had a compost heap out in the back of the yard. And we had pumpkins and watermelon, and they'd throw the rubbish onto the compost heap. But invariably, the pumpkin seed and the watermelon seed would end up not dying and would germinate in the garden. And all of a sudden, this wonderful garden they had would be taken over by pumpkin and watermelon. Jesus talked a bit about weeds. He talked about weeds in the context of a church and said, in a church, there are good plants and there are weeds. And he talked about weeds and thorns in terms of faith. He said, look, the thorns can rise up and choke our faith. So as much as seed time and harvest, reaping and sowing are godly principles, so is weed and feed. You know, you sow a seed and you believe for a harvest, the enemy is sure to come along and put some weeds in that to try and choke it all up. Have you ever experienced that? You go out on a limb, you believe God, you follow him, you plant the seed, it's a risk, it's a sacrifice, you think it's going to go well, and all of a sudden you do that, you take that step of faith, and all of a sudden it all turns to custard. It all gets hard. So we need to become vigilant, alert gardeners. God wants us to be involved in the process. Maybe we've been walking through a time of drought in our lives, we've strayed in some area, and we come to the realization that God is calling us home again. And so he takes us through this time of drought and we plant the seed, which is a step of faith. It might be forgiving someone. It might be giving some money away. It might be any sort of obedience and sacrifice that God is calling us to do. And he wants us to be stronger at the end of that. But along the way, there's a lesson, there's a journey, and that journey is the important bit. Isn't it amazing how when we're going through a time of drought, all we want to do is grumble and complain about the fact that there's a drought and we're all waiting for the rains to come? But there's a journey happening there. I mean, the drought's the drought. There's nothing we can do about it. Today is the journey. Tomorrow is the journey. And that journey where we do the learning is important. If you have a Bible, open it at the book of Galatians in the New Testament, chapter 6, verses 7 to 10. And this is about sowing and reaping, and it's about the journey. It's about what we do on that journey. Let's have a read. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you'll reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap a harvest at harvest time if we do not give up. Ain't that the truth? Let's get a revelation. We plant seeds whatever we do. We can either plant them into our flesh, into our human nature, our selfish nature, or we can plant them where the Spirit of God tells us to plant them. And so we do that. We get a revelation. We plant a seed in the Spirit where God is calling us to plant that seed. And we believe and we wait and we wait and we wait. But it takes a long time for the harvest to come. And we wait and we wait and we wait. But it takes a long time for the harvest to come. And we wait and we wait and we wait. And then we lose heart. And then we give up. And before we know it, we're back sowing to the flesh again. Sowing a seed where the Spirit tells us to is an act of faith. Maybe your marriage isn't going well, and the Holy Spirit whispers to you, so how's your time with God going? How's your prayer time going? And we come to the conviction and the realization that we've just let our relationship with God go to the wind. And so we go, you know something? I think the Holy Spirit is calling me to really get close to God. And that's the seed that we sow. We say, you know, that's my step of obedience. That's what God is doing here. I can't change what's happening in my marriage right now, but what I can change is my relationship with God, and I'm going to spend some time with him. I'm going to do that. I'm going to believe in that. And so we do that. And we set a time aside, and the days go by, and the weeks go by, and time goes by, and we don't see any change in the marriage. And the seed's germinating, but we don't see the harvest. And then all of a sudden we say, this isn't working. And I'm getting up every morning, I'm praying, nothing's happening. God, where are you? And we give up. All along, God is sorting out our priorities. All along, God wants us to exalt him above all. All along, he's ready to make the changes in that husband and wife and that marriage that need to be made that only he can make. But at the end, he gets the glory. Ever felt that, mate? You know God's called you to some act of faith, some seed to plant, and it just doesn't happen quickly enough, and we want to give up. maybe right here, right now, there's a word from God for you, in season for you. Let us not grow weary of doing what is right, for we will reap a harvest at harvest time if we don't give up. You plant that spiritual seed and you wait and you just keep doing what's right and you reap the harvest. That's God's way. That's God's promise. When we plant those seeds in the field, we have to keep doing what's right. I call that weed and feed, pulling out the weeds and nurturing his word, nurturing his call, nurturing the thing that he whispered in our heart through the Holy Spirit that we felt to be obedient to. That has to be nurtured. When we come back after this break, we're going to talk about some real practical ways of doing exactly that. No matter what dream you're following, what path in life you've chosen, being part of your family in this fast-paced, technologically connected world in which we live can be a challenge. I mean, a huge challenge. That's why I'd so love to send you a free copy of my latest book, God's Healing for Your Family. And with the life application questions at the end of each chapter, you'll be able to chew things over to really apply God's word right into the circumstances you're facing today. Because, man, God's word is alive and active. Amen? So I'm praying that he'll help you build a godly family through this booklet. You can request your free copy right now by just stopping by at christianityworks.com or giving us a call toll-free on 1-300-722-415, and we'll send it straight out to you in the post. But this is the very last week that this particular one will be available, so please don't miss out. Again, that's christianityworks.com or 1-300-722-415. Now, let's head back into God's word. Well, we've been going through a wilderness experience, a drought, and we know that God has called us in the middle of that drought to plant a seed. To plant a seed, not in our field, not to feed my need, but to plant a seed in God's field. And we do that as an act of faith, as an act of obedience. Before the break, I was talking about sometimes God is pointing out through difficulties in relationships that we're having that maybe we've let our relationship with him slide. It's really interesting that the Holy Spirit comes along when we're suffering through a drought and he'll speak to us and he'll tell us exactly what the problem is. So we plant that seed and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting for the harvest and we're waiting for the harvest and nothing happens and we get disheartened, you know. We're human and sometimes it's just so hard. What are some practical things that we can do when we're in that space? When we've honored God, when we've obeyed him, but we feel like we're losing heart. The first one we'll find in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. I love, this is one of my favorite verses. Colossians 3, 1 to 3 says this: "So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things that are above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." I call this feeding. You know, when we take a step of faith, it's inevitably counterintuitive. Faith always is, because faith is a choice between what God is calling us to do in the spirit and what we want to do in the flesh. And so when we listen to God and we go and follow him in the spirit, the flesh says, you shouldn't be doing that. That does not make sense. That is not going to work. And so when we take a step of faith and go and plant God's seed where he's called us to plant it, our flesh is going to rise up and say, give me a break. That is not going to work. Here Paul is writing to the Colossians and he's saying, set your mind on heavenly things, not on the stuff you can see, not on the things on earth, but on heavenly things. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eyes and your hearts on God, your prayer life, the time you spend in God's word, the time you spend worshiping God. This is your spiritual nourishment. You need to feed yourself. You need to feed your spirit with the Holy Spirit. And that's what you're doing right now. That's why I'd like you to get the study guide for this series, and we're making it available at no cost, because I just believe the more that we spend time in God's word listening to him, we are fed, we are made whole, we are growing strong. Pick up a good Christian book, sing Christian songs, be filled with the Holy Spirit, set your minds on heavenly things, let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. The closer we get to Jesus, the more we're changed. and the shorter the drought and the closer the harvest. Because the purpose of what God is doing when we're going through drought and the purpose of what God is calling us to do to plant a seed in the middle of a drought is to change us. So let me encourage you, when you're in that space, when you've stepped out in faith, when you've planted the seed, when you're waiting in faith for God's harvest, set your mind on the things that are above. Set your mind on heavenly things. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in God's word. Don't let those things slide, because those are the very things that we need to get us through the drought, being close to Jesus. The second thing is to crucify the flesh. The spirit is life, the flesh is death. That's what Paul says here in Galatians. Don't be deceived. God isn't mocked. You reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the spirit, you will reap eternal life from the spirit. And right now there's a battle going on. If you're in this place of drought and you've planted a seed in faith and you've taken a stand to be obedient to God, you are on a spiritual battlefield. And the flesh, the carne, the old man inside us, is going to act up. We're going to get irritable and complain and be impatient, or something else in our lives will flare up. Maybe a conflict at the office. Maybe we're sowing seed in a particular area and we end up in a deep argument with someone over there. These things are the weeds. This is the enemy coming along to try and rob us of God's harvest. And the only thing to do with weeds is to pull them out. We don't want to pander the flesh. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 11. He says, "Lay aside the work of the darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and, wait for this, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." You got weeds coming up. Your flesh is acting up against your step of spiritual faith to plant that seed. Do not make any provisions for the flesh. The one thing to do with weeds is to pull them up and throw them into the fire. It's the only thing that we should be doing with that. But we want to pander to the flesh as it whimpers, as it's dying. The flesh always whimpers when it's dying. It doesn't want to die. But God wants us to live in the spirit, not in the flesh. God wants us to walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. Is God's harvest a priority in your life? Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit? Then make no provision for the flesh. Pull out the weeds. Don't let them choke the harvest. Don't let the devil or your flesh rob you of that harvest of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That peace is awesome. That joy is awesome. Look at this passage again. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right. Let us not grow weary of doing what is right. For we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. We will reap. That's God's promise. We will reap at harvest time, at God's time. And part of that harvest, a big part of that harvest, is a changed me and a changed you. As God works on us inside in a way that he couldn't do if we weren't in the middle of that drought, in a way that we couldn't do if he hadn't called us to plant a seed in his field in faith. If you're struggling through drought, can I ask you to find out what the drought is about? To go to God and say, "Lord, what's going on in my life? Why am I struggling here?" And as the Holy Spirit answers you and speaks his word into your life and says, "You know something? The reason you're going through this at the moment is because this area in your life you've rebelled, or this area in your life is broken. I want to fix that." And we go and plant that seed where God is calling us to plant it. And we nurture it and we feed it. That's God's plan, that we should live through that we should be changed through that we should rejoice in that we should experience his harvest of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's God's plan. That's the process of becoming more like Jesus. It's exciting. It's awesome. It's part of what is ahead of us in our lives. Let me encourage you to sow into the Spirit, to sow a seed into the field that God is calling you to sow in, and then to live and walk and breathe in faith in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you will reap a harvest at harvest time. That's God's plan. This Christianity Works program is sharing the powerful, practical Word of God with so many people in over 160 countries around the world. But that's only made possible through the generous support of friends just like you. Each dollar that you give today will grow to reach nearly 3,000 people with a gospel message. Incredible! That means that a gift today of just $35 can touch over 100,000 people with the good news of Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you to give a generous tax-deductible gift of support to Christianity Works today. Securely online at christianityworks.com or by calling 1-300-722-415. And when you do get in touch, two things. Firstly, don't forget to request your free copy of that life application booklet that I've been telling you about. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. Secondly, we would love to pray for you, absolutely. Just click on the powerful prayer tile at the bottom of the homepage. Again, that's all at christianityworks.com or give us a call toll-free on 1-300-722-415. Hey, thank you so much for your support and for joining me today. I'm Bernie Diamond. I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.